right, so start that. Jerry, why don't you come on up and present the pickup trade-in proposal. Excuse me, a little hiccup.
Obviously, we crafted the motion for you. This was the one dealer in your packet there. The Lacey's where we got the two we're driving now. Okay? And then as you can see, even throttling back on some of the equipment, he still required money. Not a lot, but some money. Okay? So his kind of went over here. And I, in talking to them, actually coming up two model years, going from 2017s to 2019s, okay, ordered. let's see, the super cab one, that's the one that I'm driving. The one I currently have is regular crank windows, you know, no electric anything. The one being ordered would have the electric convenient. They call it a convenience group. You see it listed down at the bottom, power equipment group. It's kind of handy. People come up alongside you and you zip the window down instead of waving at them to open your door because you can't reach it.
Tell me about it.
I got one. It's a pain in the butt. Yeah. So that being said, other than that, the only other change was on the one I'm driving, instead of the all-season tires, it's an all-terrain tire. Okay, which is a little more aggressive tread. Mine doesn't like the slippery as well as the other truck we currently have. Okay, that has all terrains on it. And they're both going to come with a trailer brake controller already installed, and snowplow prep, and obviously the running boards like what they have on them now. And there's also a thing called an upfit, which for like wiring in our caution light and possibility of a radio if we wanted to place a regular mobile unit in instead of just using portables in them. I mean, we didn't bother installing hardwired radio units and antennas in the two trucks we have because our intention was to do what we're doing, get rid of them. So why would I pay someone to $300-$400 to install a radio, you know, to keep it a year? We just use a portable. I operate off of a portable and it works townwide. So the end result was, even with the upgrades and their upfit package, or you know, it's just so that you can wire things in really easy. That was like a $300 get. But even doing all that, the total differences, I hand them the keys to the two we got, and they hand me the keys to the two new ones. No money changes hands. That's the deal.
And one's a crew, and one's a super?
Right. Mine's a super, and the one, the patrol truck, is a crew cab, just like what we're driving now.
Yep.
How much would it be if we wanted to get a warranty on these?
Is a warranty. 3 years, 36,000 miles, right?
Yeah, we're actually trading it in before it expires.
Okay.
Right.
How about the, you said the, it's going to be hardwired to the light.
For
the,
no.
But will the lights be installed?
No, we put it on.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Are we taking a rack?
Yeah. Well, no, the rack's going with it. They wanted that. So we'll just put a rack on the new one to protect our cab on the new ones.
Do we have to buy that rack?
Yeah, we did on these. They didn't come on them.
How much is a rack?
They're like $250.
Because that gets it closer to, what was the Lacey, 983?
That didn't have racks on it either. That's an aftermarket, what they call a head rack. We put that on to protect our investment so we get our money back.
Right. No, that's,
you know, all it would take is one inadvertent shovel in the back, or, you know, tossing something in there and ding up the back of the cab. That'll hurt your value a year from now.
So. Is there anything else that we're not, that we put on it that we're not getting, that we're going to have to replace besides the rack?
Yeah, no, we've got the rack.
We'll keep the lights, or we're going to have to
keep the light. Yeah, we keep the light. See, that rack is there, and then there's a bracket that the light, it's a bracket for a light. It's two bolts. We undo the two bolts, the bracket comes off, and the light comes with it. It's a magnetic mount for the light, so that's what it is. It's just a metal piece.
Okay, so we need $250 approximately.
Yeah, and we would just do that out of parts. It's what we did when we got these, you know. Beauty of it is no brakes, no tires. If you kept it one more year, I've already got, when we crafted this deal a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I think it's on here. Yeah, the trade, if you look at the trade line, says approximate 13,000 miles because it's going to take 12 weeks at least to get the new ones. Okay, right. And they understand it's going to get some miles on it. Well, just since we crafted this agreement, that says 13. I looked at the odometer when I came in, 14.8. So, you know, we want to get it done, get it on paper.
Are they going to do that, though?
Yeah, they understand you're going to put miles on it. Right. And if they do a backward division, you know, they can see what we're putting on it in a month. You know,
yeah,
we only had them a year, you know.
Right. If they do throw something at the cost, that'll nullify the motion.
Right.
Because zero gives you.
Well, yeah,
no.
I put it down for zero. There it is. Right. And so the motion is for the two trucks, just as you see the NYE paperwork in front of you, one for the super cab and one for the other. And they understand, you know, it's not our fault. It's going to take, you know, a dozen weeks for the new one to come in. There were no 2018s anywhere, you know, in a fleet type truck. Our 17s we got, they were sitting somewhere.
Right, yeah, so. I remember that. So, Jerry, I think this is great. What's the possibility this is going to continue to happen, that this practice is going to happen again?
Oh, it absolutely should. Next year, do the same thing. I mean, now you're talking 2019. I mean, I was a little concerned, were we going to be able to pull it off with a 2017 against now the 2019s are out? And a gentleman told me, he says, you got no miles on it. You know, he says, for us, I think that's what knocked one guy out of the box, the DeLacy guy. They were just going to wholesale the two we were getting rid of, okay? Where NYE, it's apparent that he's going to put them out there for retail sale.
Retail sale.
See, so he's looking to, he thinks there's enough value in our trades to actually make a dollar, and that's okay with me because it's not costing me any dollars.
No,
now,
right.
The only other consideration we had was an auction situation where we could have put a minimum bid on enough to cover the cost of what a new one would have been. The hang up there was the weeks to get the new one. So now you auction the one you got, and is someone going to, you know, to know if you got enough out of it on a reserve bid situation, is a guy going to wait 12 weeks to take his truck that he bought in auction? Probably not.
Yeah.
So when I got zeros, I said, that's good enough. You know, we're not going to push it.
So, Tony, on this motion, is it okay for us to refer to a trade-in?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, as far as the purchase is concerned?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to declare them surplus, or sale. We don't, there's no mandate that we do auction these things off. This is all good. Okay.
Well, and the thing that my understanding was is the only reason we even had to go through this procedure was because it's a town asset.
Right.
You know, so you need a motion to swap one asset for another.
Right.
So here we are.
So I have a couple of questions, and they're just for my information's sake. You can't argue with this. This is fantastic. Was this part of our game plan all along that come January, February, we were going to trade in our two pickups? Okay, yeah. Number one.
The only question is, like you said, the age of the
right, that was the only thing that was worried me in the background was, can we get, you know, well, the other thought was is, will we be able to find 18s? Because I was looking at come up a model
year.
And
the fact that they're 19s will help
their value
next year.
And this is the fleet of two, we have two pickup trucks.
Yeah, I got them last January.
And the second question is, and it's probably a Dave Raleigh question, although maybe Tony can answer, do we not have to amend the budget?
Do what?
No.
We don't have to amend the budget. We're spending money.
We're not spending any money.
Okay.
I mean, other than $250, but he's going to take it out of his parts.
Right.
No. Okay, but I'm just, money's coming in and it's going out.
No money.
Can we do that?
Well, that's
just a
I don't know why not.
Okay, because I just, I don't know.
I mean, so in my mind,
if there was an amended budget, they'd have to take the value of the new trucks as revenue that we didn't have before, mm-hmm. and as an expenditure, the value of the trucks.
Okay,
that
so
we
I just want to make sure, from a comptroller standpoint,
we can ask David, but
I just right. that's all. I mean, to me,
and this has been vetted through our yeah. comptroller. I just had one question about yeah. trade-in.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure that it's. Yeah. I'm totally fine with this. Yeah. I mean, the fact that we're trading in 2017 trucks for brand new 2019 trucks yeah. for nothing more than the cost of a rack.
Right.
Is I just want to make sure that procedurally it's done properly.
Yeah, that's all.
So, but it's great.
I know we spoke to David when we were, you know, doing this, and basically it was a town asset was the only reason we're sitting here right now. Right. It'd already be done, you know, because it's zero.
Right.
You know, it's a no money change in hands thing.
As long as on the resolution we authorize the transfer of the sale, whatever you want to call it, of our current trucks. To be replaced by.
All right, so here's the motion as it is now proposed. Tweak that any way you think we need to make sure that it's.
It says trade-in. I mean, I don't know what other words you want to use.
Swap four?
Swap.
I mean, we're trading them in for two new ones at no cost, so I don't.
I don't see where the town is hurt at all
I can't,
from a financial position.
No.
And there's no money changing hands.
I don't misunderstand what I'm asking. It's just a protocol
yep.
question that I don't. I have no clue how to do it.
Yeah.
And if this is
we can check with David, as I say, but
that's
yeah,
all. I
guess
just want to check with David.
If you're going to amend the budget, you got to add the revenue
yeah,
that you didn't
you
anticipate.
Exactly.
Let's do a final check. Otherwise, if David does it. We'll put it on as item E on the
yeah.
agenda.
I'm good. Yeah.
All right, good.
That way I can at least get the order process moved forward.
Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Sherry.
And just
great.
So you know, I had to pick the color. If you notice on there, it said pick a color.
What
I'm going to go with ruby red metallic. It's kind of a black cherry kind of color. I had to go drive and look at some. They look kind of nice. It was either that or I was going to get them like the gray one we already have.
At least it won't be candy apple red. And you and Chuck
no, that's
McAuliffe
racer
will, eraser red, and you and Chuck McAuliffe will be confused all over town.
I kind of like that.
I don't know if he did.
I had a hard time finding. I pass you on the road, I'm like, which one is it? I got to look at the
yeah,
emblem.
See, if I'm doing something wrong, it was Chuck.
Thanks, Chair.
All right.
Well, let's talk about the sewer district consolidation.
So we have mentioned this in the past, and I mean, this is really
yeah, how are you?
Good, and you? So we have two areas that this is appropriate for, or could be appropriate for. The Radisson, Emerald Cove, Melvin River Road, and Fairways North districts are all contiguous. Fairways North pays a portion of the Radisson debt service for the River Road pump station upgrades already. Same thing with Melvin River Road district. Emerald Cove doesn't, but it flows into it, so that's an error, an accounting error from decades ago. That Dave is going to address. But to have a contiguous area with four different sewer districts that are all sharing debt service just doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, the debt service would have to be continue as it is to be paid off going forward, is my understanding from Dave. I don't really know exactly what the process is to do the consolidation. I'm assuming we have to do another map plan and report, Tony.
Yeah, there's a whole new
procedure right?
That,
yeah.
from what it used to be, which I have in the office. I can call you and tell you what
okay.
steps we have to take, but it's different than it used to be. This it came about when the governor wanted us to consolidate towns and mm-hmm. cities and all that. It includes consolidating districts as well, so you have to go through this different procedure.
Is there money available for this in the consolidation funding program for the state?
There might be.
Let's look at that too.
I don't know if you have to. I think you have to demonstrate what you're saving or how you're saving it. You know, to get a grant, you got to show them that you're saving money by consolidating.
And I don't know if we're saving any money. This is simply to spread the cost over more people. Instead, like Emerald Cove has 19 units in it and a pump station.
And so a district, ultimately, you're going to have a referendum on this, right?
Yeah, there's...
No, I thought it was a public...
Yeah, it's not a referendum.
Yeah, I think you can do it. It may be subject to referendum. I think you can do it to Article 2A or 12A.
The consolidation stuff in the new law is for like a town and a village is different than districts.
Right.
And I'd have to look at it to give you exact, but districts is less ominous than town and city or whatever, you know.
Okay, so let's do this.
Yeah, I'll get all the
it's on the radar screen.
Yeah, and we got one other spot that would make sense too, and that would be out at Whispering Oaks, West Tennessee Sewer District Extension 1 and 2, and the West Tennessee Sewer District. They all use the same infrastructure as far as the gravity main back to the county's pump station at the corner of Artillery and West Tennessee Street. Like I said, the debt service from an accounting standpoint would still be the same as it is, but going forward, it would spread the expense over many more users, which, and, you know, long-term replacement costs and maintenance costs helps everybody.
So this makes sense, and I guess the question I have is, since these were contiguous in the first place, why would they have been created as separate districts? Do you have? I'm not. There's no blame here in that question. It's just a curious thing.
Usually it goes with development.
When
there's a development, you create a new district for that development.
As opposed to saying, couldn't this be part of something that already exists? I mean, that's. I guess what I'm getting at is, can this, to avoid this happening in the future, as new developments come on the scene, can we? Is there a protocol to ask the question, can this be incorporated as part of a new?
Well, we have, West Tennessee Street is West Tennessee Street, West Tennessee Street mm-hmm. Extension 1, and West Tennessee Street Extension 2, where Whispering Oaks was always a standalone, when it was formed, it was a standalone district because it had a community septic system. So that's why that one's separate. I mean, technically, West Tennessee Sewer District Extension 1 and Extension 2 are all part of West Tennessee Sewer District. They're just separated out because there's different debt service rates.
So, but to your point, what we're looking to do possibly in the next few months is explore the possibility of preemptively creating a sewer district on the Belgium Cold Springs Peninsula, because there's a number of dry sewers that were constructed, mandated to the developers to put in for those development. They're on septic now, but what we might do is to avoid these micro districts, mm-hmm. which end up costing residents more money in the end because the infrastructure
is spread over less people.
Right. We're gonna explore that.
I think that's. It's just there's a way of just avoiding. Fixing something after the fact.
No, because it's ridiculous. What's the district?
The whole special district system in New York City is so backwards. it's just backwards. That's the only way you can describe it. It's
the county is looking to do this on a countywide basis,
large scale.
Yeah.
So you know because. In particular for
water
towns.
Districts,
the pipes go. We don't plan ahead for, you know, fixing pipes or repairing them when it happens. We charge the district whatever it costs to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of these, especially the older towns, they're in bad shape. Yep. They don't have the money to do it.
And if they go under a consent order,
then they
can be catastrophic.
Yeah, the county's got the consent order, and if they're told you got to do this. Then there's problems. So they're looking at doing that right now. They've got some problems in the city with Meadowbrook.
All right, so we're talking about these two things February 7th. What's our game plan?
So at this point in time, Tony and I wanted to make sure everybody, we had a consensus that this was a good thing and we wanted to move forward with it. If it is, Tony and I will work together over the next 2 weeks and get an outline of what the process is together mm-hmm. for you. Mm-hmm. And then on our next, I'm sure there's an amended map plan report that'll have to be prepared. So on the next agenda, that would essentially be the first step, is we would, you would pass a resolution authorizing my office to prepare an amended map plan report for the sewer district, the Radisson, Fairways North, Melvin, and Emerald Cove sewer districts to be consolidated, and the West Tennessee sewer districts and Whispering Oaks to be consolidated.
Great.
And then from there, it's a, you know, it's a few months, as you know, it's public a few hearing. Months, probably, yeah, a few months process to actually get through the process.
So,
and we'll look for grant funding if it's available.
So a couple quick questions just I have on procedure. One thing I'm really curious about is if there's going to be this is subject to public referendum, because.
I don't think.
No. Mandatory referendum?
No. So if it's.
I don't think it's subject to permissive referendum.
That's what I'm sorry.
I don't think so, but. I don't give you that as definite because I just don't remember that. As I say, it's all relatively new.
Right.
It hasn't been used very much since the governor passed the law.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any big, you know, consolidations between cities and towns and that kind of stuff. And the district stuff is, you know, kind of sitting out there like ours. And, you know, I don't know how many others.
I was going to say, first I want to tackle sewer
because
That's our biggest expense from a maintenance standpoint. And then there's other areas where I'd like to look at drainage district consolidation mm-hmm. and water district consolidation.
Perfect.
So, but from a long-term cost standpoint, sewers are our most expensive
yeah.
piece of infrastructure to maintain. If we can spread that burden over more folks long-term, it helps everybody in the district.
For sure.
I mean, some people initially may see their costs go up and some people may see them go down, but long-term it's going to even out and everybody's going to be better off.
On average, and I realize it's going to depend.
Don't know.
But,
yeah, I know where
okay.
you're going. I had no idea until Dave crunches the numbers. I don't know. Some of the smaller districts may find that their costs go up, and some of the bigger districts may find their costs go down slightly. But in the long term, when, say, an Emerald Cove or a Melvin Drive or a Fairways North has to do pump station upgrades, they're not going to feel it as bad as...
If they were by themselves.
Right. Like Emerald Cove, to have 19 units in a pump station, and that pump station does need some work,
yeah.
You know, and it's pushing $30,000 worth of work spread over 19 homes. Boy, that's a big debt service payment.
Huge.
That's a big debt service payment. So if we can spread, yes, they might initially see their costs go up, but they won't see the huge jump when we have to do, when we're forced to do their pump station upgrades. So.
All right, so more information coming.
Yep.
On
I just didn't want to. Yeah, I wanted to give you guys an update and make sure everybody was on the same page.
Did you want to talk about Danforth tonight?
Not tonight. I'm not ready. I'm just not prepared right now to do it, but I will be ready for the next meeting.
Okay. All right. Tracy, you want to come over here and brief us on the just so the board's up to speed. On the audit, you guys got copies of this?
Yes.
Good evening. Back in March, we got notification that we were going to have an exemption administration audit from the New York State Comptroller's Office, and then. They actually set a meeting, I believe it was the day after Memorial Day, so it was the end of May. They came in for a entrance conference, I guess you would call it. And then they spent from the end of May to the middle of July going through the records that they selected in as far as exemptions for agricultural, senior citizen, and veterans. After that, we waited without any news until the draft report came out after Thanksgiving. And I had actually called them to see if they had forgotten about it. Because I had a box of all that paperwork was in my office in a box that I didn't want to put away in case we needed it again. And they said, no, that was fine. The draft was done and we would be getting it. So we got it. And we did the response. We had a meeting. an exit conference just before Christmas. And then the town board did their response, and I did a corrective action plan. And that's where we are. You have now the official. There was a few minor changes from the draft to the public release. There was some errors in staffing and a few other things that they didn't have quite correct in their draft.
We met with them and talked about some. There was one issue, right? Wasn't there one issue that we corrected when we met with them?
There was an error in the veterans numbers, the number of veteran exceptions, and they had the staffing as all part-time except for me. And then there was one other little minor thing, I think, that they had to correct that was just, you know, the verbiage in the draft. Overall, we did very well. Yes, I would have loved to have been perfect, but I guess we don't live in a perfect world. And I'll go into further detail tonight at the meeting. I have a actual report to, you know, go into more detail than just the numbers that you're looking at. And then I would.
So I'm just curious. You're right. No one is perfect, and the work you do is exemplary. So don't take my words as being critical at all. But now hearing about those issues that they discovered, how did that strike you? Like why did that happen?
A lot of it is just record keeping. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate to have good stewards that administered exemptions prior to my arriving in Lysander. We are required to have an original application for every exemption. Mm-hmm. So if the exemption was granted 50 years ago, that record is permanent as long as that person has that exemption.
Sure.
And then if there's a renewal requirement, say a senior citizen or an agricultural exemption, they would have a renewal requirement. They have to renew it every year and provide the supporting documentation to let us know that that they are still eligible for the exemption. And they looked at both the originals and the exemption, the renewals for the exemptions. And they looked at the renewal for the current year, the year that they were looking at. The law requires that we have 6 years of renewals in addition to that original application. And we strive very hard to do that. What they found, there was only one thing other than an odd clerical error or one small missing piece. Mm-hmm. There was only one instance where it was repetitive, and that was with the veterans exemption, the honorable discharge. And I'll speak to that. The DD-214, which is the discharge papers, that all veterans exemptions you have to have, and then other exemption, you know, depending on the type of veterans exemption, there are other documents that you have to have as well. But the DD-214s apparently, and I'd have to do a little research to figure out what time frame we were looking at, but they changed the format, and it appears that they made them longer, and the part for honorable discharge is always near the bottom, and they were cut off when the copies were made.
Oh.
So I don't know if they were longer, and then they changed the length of them for more detail, or if it was year time frames or just, you know, isolated instances. But it looks like the bottom of the form was cut off when they copied it. It references honorable service on the DD-214 higher up, but it doesn't reference honorable discharge. So that was really the only one thing that we had multiple. We had four of those. That is a little concerning to me. We're gonna go back and revisit those over the summer. And not that they're saying that they don't think these people are entitled to the exemption. It's just we don't have that. We have that they served in all of their records, but the spot where it says honorably discharged or not, mm-hmm, is not there.
Right. And you said over the summer you have to.
Actually, we do that. That's what we call housekeeping. Right now, we are up to our eyeballs in exemptions. We mailed out 250 postcards yellow, bright yellow, like, you know, canary yellow, postcards to senior citizens with either the senior or enhanced STAR exemption that still haven't done it for this year, and the deadline is March 1st. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're busy with that, and we were actually going to be doing some records management with how we file and handle the veterans exemptions this summer. But because the auditors were here and we were pulling all those records, we couldn't start moving. Okay. You know, we couldn't start moving in that direction.
So it was just the veterans exemptions that were the issue then?
Well, there really wasn't a lot to begin with. Like I said, I'll speak in more detail. There was, they reviewed, let's see, where are my notes?
It was the school district too also had to locate its...
Yes. They reviewed a total of 32 agricultural exemptions. They looked at both the renewal and the original application. They found one original land application that was submitted in 1995 that was missing the soil map. And I'll show you what the soil map looks like. This is the soil map. The ones, this little postcard size thing. Okay, no, so there's one missing from 1995. It really doesn't do, and this is the actual parcel here you can see with the pink pen. See the pink pen?
Yeah.
We don't really do anything with that because the new ones are quite nice because they're computer generated and they're color and they're better, and they're a full page. But what the important part is this. This tells us what soils they are, and this is how they get the exemption. So this really, the law says we have to have it, and we did really good because we had them all but one. And we actually had a soil group worksheet, and I have to look through the records to find out which one it was, that was so old that it was on tissue paper. And the auditors actually were impressed, and they made a note of it, and they copied it. But it didn't end up in the final report. So that was one of the things that they found with the agricultural exemptions. They found one greenhouse application that was submitted in 2000. That original application was missing. They found one of our renewals that didn't have a current lease. We had an outdated lease. And so that was pretty much all they found for agricultural. The 25 senior citizens that they reviewed, which included the original application, so there were 50, you know, original and 25 original and 25 renewals, we had one application original that was missing proof of age. Just got taken, and they hadn't, and we have that, we've corrected it. They had one where the percentage was for school was calculated wrong, and we found out that we're somewhat unique in Lysander and Van Buren. Mm-hmm. Every place that the auditors have been, the county, the town, and the school districts, all grant the senior citizen exemption on the same income scale. Okay? That doesn't happen in Lysander. Really? And it doesn't happen in Van Buren. This is the chart that we use. And if you see, it has income. And up at the top, there are seven brackets. The county, the town, the school, four school districts, and the village are all at different levels. So when we calculate a person's senior citizen, their income for the senior citizen exemption, then we use this chart to figure out what their percentage is by this. One of our exceptions, other, you know, we had a proof of age, one of them was they read the wrong column for the school district. So they got an exemption higher for the school district than they should have. Just a clerical error. Right. Two of them, everything was done correctly, but when they put the percentage in the computer, they did a typo. And one, they had an error in totaling income. I asked the auditors if we should consider, because we do all this manually, mm-hmm. if we should consider putting the income into our computer system and letting the computer do mm-hmm. the math, and they said absolutely not.
Really?
Because they found more errors with that than they found here. And he said because we have these five different levels, these five different income levels, it would be impossible. And so that's basically, that's what they found for seniors. So mm-hmm. there were three eggs, five seniors, one original, and four during the renewals. And then the veterans exemptions, we had one exemption, an original eligible funds exemption application, which is the old style, we don't grant them anymore, was submitted in 94. That original application we could not locate. So that was the only one of the 59 that they looked at. There were the four with the honorable discharge service thing going on with their DD-214. In that report, there was one that indicated that they got an extra 10% because they didn't serve in combat because it wasn't on their DD-214. The auditors went through the file. I went through the file. And neither one of us figured out that in there was a letter that came in. They submitted their application in 2000. But then they submitted a letter from the Air Force in 2003 that indicated that this property owner had received an expeditionary medal. That automatically grants that extra 10% for combat service. So they looked at it, I looked at it, and I missed it. And Kate was actually sending a letter to request, you know, information from the property owner when she discovered that he actually was entitled to it and it was in the file.
Wow.
And it was because of it was so late in the game. It's still in the audit report. There was one that had a disability exemption rating, and basically he submitted in 2008. The exemption was granted in 2002, but then in 2008 he submitted a disability rating from the Veterans Affairs of 30%, which grants him a 15% exemption. And somehow it was attached to the original application, but was never entered. So those basically were the things that we were looking at.
You did well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, I was keeping close eye on the audit to make sure that they weren't trying to steal Teresa from us.
After a few moments of pure panic, I tried to look at it as a learning experience, in a way to improve areas of improvement. We actually had one of the supervisor of the auditors that were the team of auditors that were actually here doing the work. Their supervisor actually came for a tour
to see how you
to see how we are managing our records, because he wanted to see best practices. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what he said. And a lot of it was the senior citizen renewals that we have to have 6 years of. And there are a lot of them. We have, and actually, thank the Lord, we had just spent the last two summers changing how we filed all of the senior exemptions. I don't usually get into it unless I think there's a better way to do it. I let the clerical staff, basically do it, figure out how to do it on their own. I think previously when we were in Lock Street and we didn't have the space, they filed all of our exemption paperwork separately from a property file that looks similar like this. And the problem with that is when you sell a property and you change the deed and you pull everything out, then you have to go to get that exemption paperwork and pull that. And I think we have a lot of paperwork that we can get rid of because we aren't pulling that paperwork. So we had actually changed how we did all of the seniors and the Enhanced Star applications as well, and they finished them last year. So that made the audit process actually better, because we knew where the original is in the folder like this. It's not lumped together with all what they had done before. Was they had the original application, which is permanent and it's priceless, and then they attached all those renewals to it. So if they'd had the exemption for 20 years, there was a packet like this, and we only needed to have 6 years of renewals and that original application. And it made me nervous that the original was attached to all those renewals, so that if you lost it, you lost everything all in one swoop. So we changed that. All the original applications are now in the parcel folders. and then the renewals are grouped by tax map number, or I think they still do it by owner's name, and by year. So there's multiple folders, and we have little post-its on the file that tell which years. So.
Very good. Thank you.
So.
Well, thank you, Teresa. Appreciate it.
Yep.
So.
Good job.
And I will go over some of this tonight for everyone and answer any questions that anybody else has. So, okay.
And just a strange thing to add, you know, typically when the state comes in and announces an audit, it's not usually, you have this, you know, sinking
oh, no.
feeling, oh my God. But this was, and I think it's a tribute to Teresa and her crew, this was really a big learning experience. And, you know, congratulations to you and your team. The conversations that I had, and they were pretty regular with a state auditor, was how impressed he was. He was coming off a few other municipal audits that were disasters. When I say exceptions, there were 90% exceptions in the files.
Yeah.
So
really bad.
You know, if you look at, if you had to grade us in each category, I don't think we scored below. I think we had 80 in the seniors, and then like a 91 and a 90. So good job to you and and your team. So, thanks for briefing us.
All right.
All right. With that being said, I need to call a brief executive session to go over union contractual matters. So can I get a motion to move into executive session?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.
My water.
No, I'm kidding.
Allergies.
This time of year, you can
yeah, it's right here. Yeah. You know, we can do a camera.
Is that shut off?
I still don't know how to pause that.